Welcome.
Oh, you don't hear the music. Okay. It's cool music. We got new music.
This is Live Local Talk.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good day. It is it's Wednesday, and on Wednesdays, we are lucky enough to have in Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. Gidi is a licensed marriage and family therapist over at The Growing Place, and we talk about ways in which we can improve our lives and be better people, improve our relationships, improve all aspects of our lives. And she's with us today to start a new series on 10 things you have to give up to be happy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, I don't like the sound of having to give anything up.
Well,
that's no
what
fun.
If, what if it's something that's hurting you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sure.
You
sure.
know, give up that shoe, that rock that's in your shoe
right.
that you keep stepping on
mm-hmm.
and it keeps hurting your heel.
Mm-hmm.
How about giving it up and tossing it away?
Yeah, you know, it's true because, you know, in many ways, there's a certain religious aspect to this, it seems like, giving up sin, giving up things that you shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And because sometimes we live in sin and we think there could be no better way to live than through this way, and we don't see the alternative
yes.
to how much better life can be when we get rid of that sin.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure we're necessarily talking about sinful things here, although
no, we're not necessarily.
Be.
Yeah. It could be, but this is more from a psychological rather than a spiritual or faith-based
uh-huh.
perspective. But we can definitely make applications
mm-hmm.
to faith-based beliefs and spiritual beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, ours is Christianity. That's the one I know the most about. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like my default, but I think you can apply them even to other spiritual beliefs.
Well, you know, happiness is... people always say, you know, you want to be happy. I always thought happy was sort of kind of a, you know, happy's good, but happiness comes and happiness goes.
Yes.
I mean, you want to live, I think, a fulfilling life, a life that's fulfilling more than happiness.
And
happiness
I think
is fleeting.
That's what this list is about. 10 things you have to give up to feel fulfilled.
Fulfilled. I think that.
That's what this list is about.
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, distinguishing happy and being fulfilled.
Yeah.
Rewarding life.
Well, you know, eating a strawberry shortcake with lots of whipped cream can make me happy.
Right.
And even fill my belly. But in the long run, it's going to make me miserable if that's my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But I can feel fulfilled by making the right food choices and feeling really good about myself and having energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the difference in my mind.
Speaking with Gidi Hansen, marriage and family therapist, licensed over at The Growing Place. Do you think most people are happy?
What a question.
Do you think people generally are happy people?
I would have to say, from my perspective, and you understand, I meet with unhappy people
right.
all day long, but just from the way people drive and the way they interact in public, I'd have to say that a lot of people are not happy.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong on that. Maybe I'm just focusing on the negative.
Well, you know, it's difficult to judge that kind of thing because so many times, I've said this a million times on this show, we judge each other on slivers of law of our life.
Yeah.
You know, you see somebody, you know, I saw somebody at McDonald's just having a bad, it was me. I had a bad moment in McDonald's and I was just kind of like, get the food ready. And somebody said something to me and I said, you know, please don't judge me on that sliver of my life.
Yeah, that's
we do
great.
That.
And, you know, I'm not talking about judging yeah. anybody. I'm just
right.
talking about observation.
Mm-hmm.
When you asked me, do I think most people are happy, I was thinking back on my observations, because as you say, I don't really know them.
Mm-hmm.
But one indication to me that somebody's happy is that they're polite,
mm-hmm.
they're patient, they're kind.
Mm-hmm.
You
but
know,
all of us have bad moments.
We do, but does everybody have a bad moment at the same time?
Or right,
you
right.
know, like when I stand in line and I watch the checker and I can tell the checker's having a bad time, you
mm-hmm.
know, and
mm-hmm.
I try to make a difference in that person's life by connecting
right.
and looking that person in the eye and saying, you're not just here to serve me and you're not just a machine. I see you're a human being and I value you and I thank you. And then I listen when that person is talking to the next one in line, and there's a change.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were now, you know, somebody valued them. I think happy people impart value to other people because they feel valued. And unhappy people don't feel valued, and they don't necessarily impart any value to anybody either.
Right. There are so many. It's such a complex question.
It is, and because I don't think we're a very polite society.
Right. Right.
You know, and maybe I'm wrong thinking that if I'm happy, I'll be polite. That could be wrong.
Or if you're polite, you're necessarily happy. You could be polite just because you want to be polite.
You
but not be happy inside.
You can usually tell, though, when people are faking it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this is just a preamble to what we're going to talk about. Because we really have another.
It's a great question. I'm going to be thinking about it all day.
I am, too. I accidentally brought it up. I wasn't sure I was going to go this direction. And then I started thinking, what percentage of people are truly happy, and how do you define happiness?
Here we go. Look down this list and ask yourself, of these 10 things, how often do I do them? And then you'll know whether you're happy or not.
Right, right.
Because these are the things you need to give up to be happy.
Okay.
So that then we can approach it in that way.
Well, let's just get the first one out. We're going to go to commercial almost in any minute here, but we're going to talk about limiting beliefs in order to be happy.
Yeah, we have to give up limiting beliefs, and that's kind of a vague statement. What that means are the things we impose on ourselves and our view of the world that are unrealistic.
And we're going to talk about that with Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place. 10 things you have to give up to be happy. One of them is, to be happy, we have to limit our beliefs.
No. Limiting beliefs we have to give up in order to be happy.
We'll talk about that after the break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back to the show. I'm with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. He is a licensed marriage and family therapist. If you'd like to make an appointment with Gidi or one of the other counselors there, you can give them a call at 588-0448. They handle all kinds of issues that people may have. And you can also go to tgplace.org, TG as in thegrowingplace.org, tgplace.org. Number one on the list, 10 things you have to give up to be happy. Give up limiting beliefs. What does that mean?
Limiting beliefs are unrealistic beliefs about yourself or the world that limit you. For instance, I can't do that, or this'll never happen. Mm-hmm. Things you do to limit yourself. Oh, I could never do that job. Even with training, I could never do it. And when we kind of box ourselves in and hem ourselves in, and we don't give credence to our potentials, we don't take chances, we don't explore, we tend to get into a rut, and we tend to be unhappy.
This is the kind of thing that needs to be developed at a young age, isn't it?
Not necessarily.
Really?
Because it's best to be developed at a young age, but it's never too late.
Okay, because it seems like, as I've gotten older, my beliefs have gotten more rigid, and I have certain beliefs, and I like to think I'm still open to different things, but the reality is that as time goes on, my feet are etched in stone on anything. We have a belief system that we stand by.
Well, this is not talking about moral beliefs.
Okay.
This is talking about experiential, personal beliefs about what I am capable or not capable of, what others are capable or not capable of, what the world is going to give me or not give me, that is unrealistic.
Okay.
That's what the limiting beliefs means. Not realism. Realism is I'll never be president of the United States. Mm-hmm. And I can tell myself all day long I will be, and I know I'll never be. So that's unrealistic. But if I tell myself, I'm 66 years old. Can you believe it? I just had a birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. When's your birthday?
June 8th.
I'm June 6th.
That's right. We're very close. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Likewise.
And so if I tell myself, I'm 66 years old, I shouldn't be working.
Yeah.
I should be retiring. Well, it's baloney. I love working.
Yeah.
I entered this profession when most people are retiring.
Right.
So I was way out of step with society, but I let go of that limiting belief that said I couldn't start a career at this age in life.
And some of the limiting beliefs you're talking about are societal beliefs.
Yes.
In many ways. Kind of the society puts certain certain roadblocks, or I guess, for lack of better words, in front of you, which says, okay, you're 66 years old. You started getting involved in this about 64, 65. You said, okay, this is it. I'm not, you know, society is not going to accept me being a licensed marriage and family therapist because I'm 64 years old. But, I'm not going to do that. You didn't limit your beliefs. You said, no, I want
actually,
to do this.
I started when I was 59 with grad school.
Okay,
59
me.
And a half.
Uh-huh.
And I had a little argument with the Lord. Uh-huh. And I said, Lord, why are you calling me into this profession? By the time I graduate, do my internship, and get licensed, I'll be at least 65, which is mm-hmm. what happened. And you know what he said to me? He said, Moses was 80 when I called him.
Wow, yeah.
I'm calling you to do this. And I'm so glad I obeyed
mm-hmm.
because I did not believe in this profession when I went into it. I did it completely by faith and out of obedience.
Why? What do you mean you didn't believe in the profession?
I didn't believe in psychology very much.
A lot of people who have strong faith, which I know
exactly.
you do, believe that you know, just a little dose of the Holy Spirit
exactly.
takes care
and
of everything.
Poof, it's done. You know, just yeah. like when I have a toothache, a little dose of the Holy Spirit and the infection is gone and my tooth is fine. Or when I have a flat tire, I say a prayer and poof, the tire is fixed. And God showed me, you know, I put people in this world to serve others.
Mm-hmm.
And mental issues are no different from physical issues. In fact, they're often linked.
Yeah.
So he said, I'm calling you to this. And the more I learned about it, I found the parallels in my faith.
Uh-huh.
And so it all began to make sense. But I was not there when he called me.
You know, I think of the sports world. There's a former football player named Tim Tebow, a devout Christian.
Yes.
And everybody said, you know, you cannot do this. And now he says he's going to play baseball. He said, I guess he must be about 27, 28 now, and he's going to play baseball. And he's actually doing well. And the belief system that society provided was, there's no way you're going to be a Major League Baseball player. There's no way you're going to be a professional baseball player, much less make it to the big leagues. He's on the cusp of perhaps getting on a Major League franchise, playing for the Major League Baseball. Same type of thing where there are certain rules that you're put into a box that this is not something
so
you're capable of doing.
True. And, you know, telling women you can't be a CEO.
Right.
You can't own your own business, or, you know, 100 years ago, you can't own property.
Well, you know, it wasn't even that long ago when a woman CEO was, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the idea of a woman boss was sort of viewed upon as crazy.
Yeah. Medusa's going to be your boss.
Yeah.
And she'll be having her menstrual cycle, and the whole company will fall apart.
That's what they thought.
Yeah. I remember those days. And same with people of different racial or ethnic backgrounds.
Right.
Same idea. You know, you can't do this because you are X, Y, or Z. That's a limiting belief.
We're only on number one. 10 things you have to give up to be happy. A rigid belief system. We'll talk about that. Finish that up, actually, after this break with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. Please stay tuned.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right. We're talking about things that people have to give up to be happy. 10 things that people have to give up to be happy. Limiting beliefs. Gidi Hansen, I know you said there's a scriptural basis for this.
Yes, there is. You know, think of our Lord Jesus in the New Testament and the Gospel accounts, and how limiting and limited the beliefs of the Pharisees and Sadducees were. Mm-hmm. And our Lord was constantly coming up against their rigid belief system and showing them, you've totally misinterpreted the Bible. You've misinterpreted the character of God. Mm-hmm. You've misinterpreted my mission and who I am, because you have predetermined certain beliefs that are not reality, that are not based on truth.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're trying to live your life by those. And unfortunately, some of us as Christians continue to do that. Mm-hmm. We'll take a Bible passage or whatever, misinterpret it. will go by the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, to quote Paul from his epistle, and then we'll impose that on ourselves and on our other people, and basically bring people into bondage under the name of whatever spiritual belief I have.
What came to mind immediately was casting the first stone.
Yeah.
Because the interpretation from the Old Testament was true. The law was that if a woman engaged in prostitution...
Or a man, which was very conveniently left out of John 8, the Old Testament, the books of Moses said if a woman or a man...
cheats on their mate, that they would be stoned to death.
Yes,
and so
by the community.
And so that's what the Bible said, and that's what they went with it. And Jesus came in there and said that is a belief which you're limiting yourself and your beliefs. You have to get rid of that.
He never contradicted the law. He just made a very simple statement. He said, okay, whoever is without sin, you throw the first stone.
Yeah. And that's...
And you know what's ironic is Jesus was without sin. He could have...
Right.
...legally, spiritually, in every sense, thrown the first stone, but instead he threw mercy.
Isn't that... And I don't want to get off on a tangent, but what the heck, we've got about four more minutes left. I find this interesting. Isn't that kind of one of the problems we have with many religions in the Middle East right now, where they're living by the letter of what the Quran, for example, says, and maybe not what the spirit of it is intended to be?
Yeah, I think the terrorists are definitely doing that, and I think it's possible to do that in any religion or belief system.
Right, right.
We just tend to do that.
And you talk about people who are unhappy, it's the people who have this dogmatic view in some ways, and maybe dogmatic isn't the right word, but maybe some rigid belief system?
Yeah, something that I would say is not based on reality and truth. That those are the words that work for me. They're unrealistic, they're not based on truth, or they're a misinterpretation of truth. We've all done that. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit, in my opinion, to help us interpret the Bible and to interpret how to apply it to our lives or to our current situation. Otherwise, it will become a limiting belief. Even something as wonderful as the Bible, uninformed by God, as we walk it out day to day by the living God, not the God I created in my own mind, will basically box me in, put God in the box, put God in the book, box me in, and create limiting beliefs that are going to hinder me and others.
So we have about another 2 minutes left. The lesson here today is... kind of don't box yourself in. Don't box yourself into certain rigid beliefs but again, same time, be realistic.
Yes, and that's the the thing. Like when I was growing up, the Christians around me were, even though they were evangelical Christians, they had already assumed I was going to hell because I was a Muslim. So that was a given. It never occurred to them that Jesus died for the Muslims. Just never occurred to them. And that's an example of a rigid belief that is unrealistic and a misinterpretation of the Bible.
Okay.
Because the Lord makes it clear. He came for everybody, every kindred, every tongue, every ethnicity. Everybody from everywhere is eligible.
Is it difficult for some people, particularly older people, to rid themselves of these limiting beliefs?
I think it can be for any of us, but it can also be liberating and immediate if we were to just give ourselves over to the Holy Spirit. And I see that happening with my Christian clients who get a hold of a truth from God. And, I see OCD getting healed. I see depression getting healed, anxiety, because they're understanding this is unrealistic. These things I'm telling myself day and night that's depressing myself or making me all anxious. This isn't even where I should be focused. Why in the world am I doing this? And I can see a shift, just a paradigm shift. Now, there's the pull of the old habit, but there can also be sudden deliverance. I've seen it happen. I've experienced it in my own life.
And that would probably transition very nicely into number two, which we'll get to next week, which has to do with complaining. because I would imagine when you have certain beliefs, perhaps it's going to cause some complaining along the way.
And we'll talk about that next I'm week. An expert on this one.
Okay. With that in mind, we are going to say so long for today. Gidi, thanks so much for being with us, as always.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. We'll be talking about the continuous discussion next Wednesday on 10 things you have to give up to be happy. Complaining is next on the list. Hope you'll join us then. Have a good rest of your day. So long, everybody.